So in Philippians, we looked at Paul's attitude towards the brethren. If you look at verse 3, chapter 1, he thanked God in all remembrance of them. He made prayer with joy, verse 4 says. Then we looked at last time, verses 9 through 11, in which we saw Paul's prayer. He said it is his prayer that their love would abound more and more, but not just love, but knowledge with all discernment would accompany their love. And his reason was that they would then be able to approve what is excellent. And in doing that, verse 10, they would be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ. And the reason ultimately is for the glory and praise of God. And then Paul goes on, verse 12 through 14. Let's read that. He says, I want you to know, to be informed, to understand, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, my circumstances, has really served to advance the gospel, to progress the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So that's what we're going to look at today. And this applies to all of us, because all of us, as he says in the text, what has happened to me, all of us have lives in which things are happening to us. You know, sometimes a person will say to someone else, can you believe this happened to me? You know, I didn't expect this was going to happen to me. Can you believe it happened? Well, here Paul is writing about what happens, about circumstances. So let's think first about verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. We need to answer this question. What has happened to Paul? What has happened to the Apostle Paul in his present situation? Well, where is he at right now? In a hotel? In the beach? No, he's in prison. He's in prison. What type of prison most commentators would put forward? Paul is in a prison where he's chained to a guard. So he's got a guard chained to him. It's not like he's in some isolated cell where he's by himself, but he's chained to a guard. And if you think about even modern day guards, a lot of them are lost men. They're going to be cursing you. They're going to be saying things to offend you. Think about Paul. I mean, imagine being chained to a guard in Rome. That guy isn't a nice guy. I'm sure he's blaspheming the Lord to Paul's face and saying things to insult Christ. So there Paul is. Now what else is happening to Paul? Look at verse 17. He says, some proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. So here Paul, he's in prison to begin with. That's a pretty rough circumstance, right? And then it even gets rougher. While in prison, professing Christians on the outside, preaching with selfish ambition, are seeking to afflict Paul even more. And the thing we learn from that is when we're in a rough circumstance, don't be surprised if it just gets rougher. If you get put in prison, that may not be the end. You may even get more tested in prison with professing Christians trying to afflict you even more in your circumstances. And it even comes from inside the church, professing Christians. So that answers what question? What has happened to Paul? Because Paul says here, I want you to know what has happened. He wants them to know what's happened. Hey, Brandon, I think their things aren't working over there, if you want to look into that. The Spanish interpretation. So what has happened? Okay. Yeah. Think about for yourself. I don't know of one Christian brother and sister right now that I personally know who's in prison. I don't know of anyone who's been in prison, that that's what's happened to them. But in general, we all face similar prisons. The prison could be you're physically ill with cancer. The prison could be your lost children. Think of the imprisonment for Paul for yourself is like a trying circumstance. It's just a hard situation you're facing in your life. It's really difficult. And so to apply Paul's arguments here to yourself, that's what you should think about. So what is happening in my life right now that is a very trying and great circumstance? It's very difficult. Now, we know what's happened to Paul. He's in prison. What's one of the next questions we should ask? Paul, why are you in prison? Were you in prison because you were very arrogant to the cops and you were not submitting to the governing authorities and you were just sinfully proud? Rather than move on to a new spot downtown, you just fought against the cops and you got thrown into prison for your own pride. Is that why Paul was in prison? No. Let's look at the verse right here. He says in verse 13, and this is where we find our answer, "So that has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." Now, you read that and you think, wait a minute, for Christ. I like how the NASB renders it, for the cause of Christ. And the idea here Paul is saying is the reason that I'm in prison is for Christ, and the guards in the palace know that's the reason I got put in prison. I mean, think about if I got arrested today. I go into the prison, no one knows why I'm here until what happens. I explain to them, or they hear testimony from someone else, hey, that guy got put in prison for preaching for the cause of Jesus Christ. So when we think about Paul's trying circumstance, he's not there because of sin. He's there because he was living righteously and doing the will of God. And this matters for us as Christians because there's a lot of people who are in real trying, hard circumstances, but they're there because of sin in their own life. And it's not right to think, well, because of all my sin, I got myself in these hard circumstances, and somehow it's just going to be used to advance the gospel. You don't want to use your sin and push it to the side and say, well, God's going to use that to advance the gospel. Paul was put in prison for Christ. That was the reason. That was the cause. It wasn't any sin. It was for Christ, verse 13 says. So that's the reason. Can God work things for good, even in our sin? He absolutely can. But you don't want to have that mindset. Well, if I just sin, God's going to use it to advance the gospel somehow. You want to turn from that mindset. That is an excuse. So, something happened to Paul in prison. Why he's in prison? For Christ. Next question, which Paul doesn't say, but let's ask ourselves this. We see how Paul responded, but how did he not respond? It's not in the text, but obviously by it not being there, we know certain ways Paul didn't respond. What's one way Paul didn't respond? He didn't grumble. He didn't have anger. He didn't complain. That's amazing when you think about it. I mean, Paul even goes on later to say, do all things without grumbling and complaining, that we might shine as lights. Paul didn't do what? He didn't question the love of God. Well, here I'm in prison. I've got this guard chained to me who's cursing the name of the Lord, maybe. I don't know that dogmatically, but that probably was happening. And here he's having all these new guards on rotations chained to him. You know, every 12 hours or something, a new guard's getting chained to Paul. He's in prison. Paul didn't question, Lord, why am I here? Why did you put me in this trying circumstance? That wasn't Paul's mindset, so he didn't respond like that. Rather, what was Paul? He was so certain of the love of God that what was he ready to do? He was ready to what? What does verse 21 say he was ready to do? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul was so certain of the love of God for his soul in these hard circumstances that he was ready to die. To die is gain. So he clearly wasn't a man questioning the love of God. So that's how Paul didn't respond. No grumbling, no questioning the love of God, but certain. Now let's ask ourselves this question. How did Paul respond? We don't have it in verses 12 through 14. There's sayings there, but specifically I want you to look at verse 18. It flows on. We're going to look at these verses next week more in depth, but look at verse 18. What then? You know, here these people are thinking to inflict me in my imprisonment, he said right at the end of verse 17. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. So how did Paul respond? What did he do? He rejoiced. And he rejoiced because Christ was proclaimed. Notice the focus of Paul's life. He wasn't rejoicing because his life was easy. He wasn't rejoicing because of all these external reasons. It was because Christ was proclaimed. Paul had a desire for the evangelism of the gospel to the world, the advancement of the gospel. His attitude and main concern was, how do my present circumstances affect the gospel going out? Do you think like that? Do you think like, I'm near to death, my present circumstances, I'll have a funeral. How is the funeral going to be used to progress the gospel? I'm in a hospital, I'm sick. How do these circumstances affect the gospel going out? Not, woe is me, this is really bad circumstances, but Paul is thinking, okay, here I am. I don't question the love of God, I'm ready to die. He's put me and given me this lot on this day. What am I going to do? How is this going to affect the gospel? He goes on later, look at verse 20. It's my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed in these trying circumstances, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Does that come in your mind? If we believe God's love for us, it will. He said, he wanted to be blameless, to shine as a light, he said. So that's how Paul responded. You know what Paul did in his responses? He approved what was excellent. Remember what was Paul's prayer for them? It is my prayer for you that your love may abound more and more with all knowledge and discernment so that you might what? Approve what is excellent. And here in the same letter to the church at Philippi, he's showing them how to approve what is excellent in the circumstances you face that are really hard. He's saying the excellent thing to do is to think, how does this affect the gospel going out? How can I advance the gospel in this trying circumstance that God has put me in? That was what was going in Paul's mind. That's what we need to go in our mind. Now, to the text, we ask this question. How could Paul rejoice in imprisonment? How, Paul? How could you rejoice in imprisonment? You know why it is? Because Paul knew something. Paul had knowledge about something. And Paul, right now, we're about to read, he wants all of us to have the same knowledge. Knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And if you have that understanding and you believe that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to face trying circumstances and you'll respond just like Paul and you'll have the same joy that Paul had in those circumstances. So let's look at verse 12. Do I know what Paul knows? I want you to know, brothers and sisters at Grace Community Church, Paul's telling that to us. So he wants us to know something. I want you to know. I want you to be informed. I want you to have a correct perspective on something. Why do you think he's writing that to them? Well, they probably didn't have a correct perspective, weren't thinking completely right. Let's go on. What has happened to me? Okay, my imprisonment, my trying circumstances, has really served to advance the gospel. Notice that? Paul's saying it's really served to do this. What was probably in their minds? Well, this trying circumstance of Paul being in prison and it looks like he's going to die is that this will hinder the advancement of the gospel. The mighty apostle Paul, boy, if he gets taken out, oh, we just lost one of the greatest evangelists who ever lived. That's going to hinder the gospel. And Paul's saying, wait a minute, brethren. I want you to know, to be informed, that my trying circumstances of imprisonment, it's really served you to do something. It's serving you. It's really serving you in a specific way. And how is that, he says? To advance the gospel. It's really served to advance the gospel. So, why does that matter for you? What happens? We get put in trying circumstances and we don't think how it's really going to serve to advance the gospel. We could think like those at Philippi maybe were. We could think this is actually going to hinder the gospel. Paul comes along and he's saying, brothers, sisters, you need to know. Verse 12, what has happened to me, my imprisonment, your cancer, your fill in the blank, has really served to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, what does the devil do? He tells us the worst. He slanders God's character to us. God doesn't love you. Remember, Paul, to die is gain. He wasn't believing lies. He was believing truth about how God really loved him. And he wants us to know this. So ask yourself, do you know, Christian, that your trying circumstances, imprisonment, it actually really serves to advance the gospel, not hinder it? And so when you're believing this lie, this is going to hinder the gospel? Paul's saying he's coming along. I want you to know that's not going to hinder the gospel. You need to believe God's love for you. This trying circumstance won't hinder it. It'll help advance it. And we're going to look at how it will help advance it in a moment. So it's really served. This set of circumstances, Paul is saying, is actually masterfully designed by the Lord to advance the gospel. So, let's ask this question. How is the gospel advanced through Paul's imprisonment and his very trying circumstances? How's it advanced? How's it advanced? Well, we find here in the text, verse 13 shows us how it affects the lost world. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard on to all the rest, my imprisonment is for Christ. What's verse 14 show us? It shows us how it affects the Christians. So let's look at those two things. His trying circumstances affect the lost, and they have an effect on the Christian. That's encouraging for me, because I get put in trying circumstances, and it's going to affect both categories. And I want to help affect both categories for good, not hinder the gospel, but advance it. So the lost are affected. So the lost are affected. What's he saying in verse 13? Again, we read it earlier. It's that to all the rest, they know something, that his imprisonment is for Christ. Meaning the guards knew, okay, this man was put in prison not for drug dealing. This man was put in prison not for unrighteousness. He was put in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the guards knew that. How does that advance the gospel? One way it advances the gospel is if you're a guard and you see this man was willing to get put in prison for preaching Christ, now the very thing he got put in prison to, for preaching Christ, he's now preaching to me in the prison. You look at that man and you say, how is that man so bold? Why does he not have the fear of death? Why isn't he renouncing Christ? You see that. That helps advance the gospel. Seeing a man really believe what he really believes is true and not waver in his faith. If you think about these guards, you know, Paul gets put in prison. They don't just randomly find out why he's there. He had to open his mouth, and I'm assuming he did, and he evangelized to them. So how does the gospel advance in these trying circumstances? It's very simple and practical, but what was Paul transferred from? From one physical location to another, right? We may underestimate that, but the Lord will use circumstances in our lives to move us from one situation to another. Just a physical change in what happens. People I was not able to affect here, by now being physically transferred to a prison, there are now individuals I can affect and advance the gospel to that I never could before. It's very simple, but I think we need to see that, because there's sometimes you get a job transfer and it's really the only option. Maybe like Michael Morales in Laredo, he could have said no, but it seemed like the Lord's will. He's been in Laredo for all these years, affecting people with the gospel. He never would have been able to do, except his circumstances of a job change put him in a new physical location. Think about Paul, chained to guards for hours, and you're probably going to die, it looks like. What do you think you're going to do? Evangelize. How on earth am I going to reach this imperial guard? What better way than getting chained to him all day long? Being able to evangelize to him. What better way to be in a hospital bed and chained to a nurse all day long and be able to evangelize to them? I mean, I was with Kevin when he was in the hospital. He's just using it as an opportunity to advance the gospel. He's just preaching Christ, preaching Christ. It was like he went on a missions trip to the whatever hospital he was in. That's how Paul thought. Not woe is me. Not, oh, I have no joy. But he was rejoicing. Wow, new circumstances. I can advance the gospel. So, think about this. How did this church at Philippi start? What was one of the big things that was used in the planning of the church? Paul got put in prison, and what happened? The Philippian jailer got converted. And then guess what happened after that? His whole family got saved. So Paul knows what he's talking about. He already had the circumstances of being imprisoned, and it led to people being converted and this church being planted. Acts 11:19. Now those who were scattered because of persecution that arose. So persecution arises. Oh no, we're in trouble. Over Stephen, after he got martyred, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews. My point in reading that verse is persecution came, what happened? They traveled, and what did they do when they traveled? They preached Christ. They had a mindset, I want to evangelize the lost. These change of circumstances, this suffering that's coming upon us, this is a good thing. God's in control. I don't doubt God's love. So, the application for you, God may force you into a spot where you have to change physical location. But remember, He's got purposes in that. And it may just be the transfer from one job to another job, and you have a new physical location and you've got new opportunity. Or one day He may put you in a physical prison. Don't be thinking, woe is me, who's going to take care of my wife and children? Yes, be concerned about them, but to be thinking, how can I advance the gospel being in this prison? That's how Paul thought. So in our trying circumstances, we should always look for ways to evangelize. But what do you need to evangelize? You need boldness. You need a boldness to believe this is really the greatest mission I've ever been given, to tell others about Jesus Christ. You need to believe that Christ is more precious than anything the world has to offer. You need to believe that His death for you is controlling you, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15. The devil wants us to close our mouths. So, that's how it affected the lost people. Now, how did Paul's circumstances of imprisonment affect the Christian? Let's look at that in verse 14. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord, that's huge to notice. Confidence was not in Paul, their confidence was in the Lord, but what was the means used to point them to more confidence in the Lord? Confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So what did Paul's circumstances do for the Christians? They saw Paul in these circumstances, and it made them all the more bold to preach the Word of God. It didn't make them cower away. And think about this. Okay, Paul is out preaching. He gets arrested, and he goes to prison. And their thought is, well, this is really going to serve to hinder the gospel. So Paul's writing to them saying, look, wait a minute. I want you to know, brethren, me getting put in prison, it's really served to advance the gospel, not hinder the gospel. And if your understanding is right about your hard circumstances or an opportunity to advance the gospel, then Paul recognizes what's going to happen. They're no longer going to have fear to go and preach, which was the very thing that put Paul in prison. Because here, Paul goes to prison, and it's like, should I even preach the Word of God now? The gospel's hindered. If I go to prison, it'll hinder the gospel. And Paul's saying, that's not the truth. And they realize, wow, you mean even if I go preach today and get put in prison like Paul, that will only advance the gospel and not hinder the gospel? So having a correct understanding of the hard circumstances does what? It leads men to be more bold to proclaim the word without fear, he says. Without fear. So, how much more bold we would be if we don't fear the thing that's not worth fearing. Don't fear the thing that's not worth fearing. You know, like people have said, it's like you see this massive shadow on the wall and you're terrified, and then you look and the projector was shining on a little mouse and it wasn't as big as it looked. We need to understand things right. Your hard, trying circumstances, your suffering, your imprisonment, It's going to advance the gospel. Don't believe the devil's lie that God doesn't love you, God doesn't have a purpose in this, this is going to hinder the gospel. That is a lie from the pit of hell. The truth is God's put you there because He loves you. That's yes, if you're in the circumstances for Christ, because of you living for Christ. All the time people get put in bad circumstances because of sin. And you don't want to think, well, this is great, God's going to advance the gospel through my sin. Thankful He's so gracious to redeem many of our failures. So again, let's think about this saying in verse 14 here. Most of the brothers having become confident in the Lord. Is your ground for confidence in the hard trials, is it the Lord? I mean, it's a very simple question. When the fires start burning, when you're thrown in the furnace, what's your confidence in? Is it in the Lord? Is it in the Lord? You know, to have my confidence in the Lord, I have to believe that He's the one who put me in the circumstances I am in right now. What did Paul say? He said, my confidence is in the Lord. How did he say it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He can endure any circumstance because the strength that Christ was providing. And other Christians see Paul going through trials and they look at him and it made them confident in the Lord that, wow, if God could strengthen Paul in those trying circumstances, he could strengthen me too. And if God could redeem Paul's trying circumstance of imprisonment to advance the gospel, God can use my trying circumstance, whatever it is, to advance the gospel too. So now I'm much more bold to not fear getting put in that tight spot of imprisonment or whatever it may be. You know, I mean, you hear about the Vans, Mason and Rachel, all they're going through with little Jackson, their child who's barely making it. As a parent with a wife pregnant, if something bad were to happen in the pregnancy, seeing them go through that trial and the way they're doing makes me all the more bold to say, Lord, if you put me in that situation, I'm going to trust you that you're going to help me be fearless and not panic and make a good testimony like they've done in their trial. That's got to be our attitude. And again, Paul's thing is, let's get the gospel out. Use your circumstances to evangelize. So, Paul also clearly knew if he dies, the gospel's still going to go forth. Paul didn't have a high view of himself, that, well, the Lord, without me, the gospel's toast. He knew if I die, well, he'll advance it. So how you endure trying circumstances will help other Christians not fear when they themselves face those situations. You think about it, some are forerunners for our trials. There's going to be someone who experiences a certain trial first before you. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1 that God's going to comfort them in that trial in order that they may be able to comfort you with the same comfort that they received. And the thing that helped me visualize it, I thought about when ships in the old days were first sailing to America. I mean, nowadays, what do we have? Maps. It's no big deal if you're going to hop. I mean, it is a big deal if you hop on a boat. But you hop on a plane, we know where we're going. Someone's already charted the ground out. But think of those first people who came to America and were on that boat. I mean, they didn't know America was there. They didn't know where they were going. It wasn't mapped out. It wasn't charted out. They were going into the unknown, and the unknown gives temptation to fear. And Paul, he's saying, look, I've already been in prison for the gospel. I've already mapped it out, and you're able to endure in it. And so same thing in this church. Someone gets put in a trial, looks like someone has a stroke. They endure the apparent look of that. The Lormans, they had 3 miscarriages, and now God's given them a child. You look at that, and if you have a miscarriage, you think, well, Lord, if you endured them through 3, you can help me at least through 1. You see, there's a forerunner for your trial that's put there as an example. That's how much the Lord loves us, to encourage us as a body. I mean, think about if you didn't have a church, if we didn't have a local body, and you're out there enduring all these bombs and trials on your own, and you didn't have anyone there to strengthen you, to come along and say, you know what, I went through the same thing. And that's what I love so much about older Christians, 40 years older than me. They've went through almost everything that I'm going through, and I can talk to them, and it makes that thing I fear be really, really tiny. And all of a sudden, I realize, what am I fearing? It's no big deal. They went through it. The Lord gave him grace. He'll give me grace too. Because if he didn't spare his own son, but he gave him up for that man and me, how much more will he not graciously give me all things? If he promised only goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, why not trust him now? So the fear of unknown, seeing how other Christians endure in hard circumstances, that helped the brothers. They were much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, we've even seen that as a church, it's small, but financial trying circumstances. Here the Lord provided the money for the building. What does that do? It even can help other churches be bold that, wow, if the Lord provided for them, He could also provide the money in a building for us, and we don't have to take a loan out for it. We don't have to go in debt. You see, our circumstances we endure are speaking to other Christians. They're affecting other Christians, and they're affecting the lost. And we want it to affect it for the advancement of the gospel. So, the circumstances you're fearing, why fear them? Why not look for opportunities to advance the gospel in those? And then you'll be like Paul and be doing what in prison? While people are trying to afflict you while you're in prison. They're trying to make it worse. You'll be rejoicing like Paul. What then, in this big mess I'm in, will I do? I will rejoice. Because the Lord's put me here. This isn't an accident. So, brethren, how you respond in your trying circumstances, whether it's imprisonment, whether it's cancer, whether it's lost children, whether it's dropping something on you in the kitchen and burning your hand, whatever it is, how small, how big it is, you can either advance the gospel, you can hinder the gospel. This really matters. Because all of us are facing, as Paul said, things that happen to us on a daily basis. Every day is full of the phrase, look what has happened. And what you need to look at is, look, how am I responding? Lord, am I responding right when I get put in the hospital? Am I responding right when I get put in this trying situation I didn't anticipate? Paul said in verse 27, look there, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engage in the same conflict you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Here Paul's saying, whether I'm there or not, you don't want to be the Christian who, when all the others are around, you respond really well because they're watching you. But then you're at home, Paul's not there, and you're just sinning in all your responses. You don't want to be the hypocrite. So how am I responding at home? If I asked your wife, how does he respond in trying circumstances? We find out something happens, it's really bad, and his first thing is to grumble and complain. His first thing is to doubt the love of God. First thing is to say, to something really negative to tear down the household. Is that how you respond at home? That's going to affect your family. So again, other Christians have went through trying circumstances. They've given us an example to be more bold, that if we get put in those circumstances, we won't have to be fearful, but we'll be fearless. One of them that came to mind was Johnny Erickson Tada. Some of you know her. On July 30th, 1967, she dove into Chesapeake Bay. After misjudging the shallowness of the water, she suffered a fracture between the fourth and fifth cervical levels and became a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down. And these are two things she said. And yeah, maybe I don't think she said this the day after it happened. She didn't. She wrote a book. But the Lord brought her to believe these realities. We will stand amazed to see the top side of the tapestry and how God beautifully embroidered each circumstance into a pattern for our glory and His, for our good and His glory. You hear that? The top side of the tapestry. Because right now I get to see one stroke in the tapestry. And I look at that stroke and it's like, what is that stroke doing on my tapestry? That looks really bad. But if I really believe God, I'm going to get to the end of my Christian life and I'm going to see the full picture of every circumstance I was in. And you know what I'm going to see? It advanced the gospel. It really, really did. That's an evidence if you're really saved, you're believing God. That's how you're going to endure to the end as a Christian. You're going to believe God's in control. You're going to believe His love for you. And again, if we believe He did the greatest thing, putting away our sin, appeasing the wrath of God as our substitute on the cross, if you believe He did that for you, how can you not believe Him for the smaller things? Like imprisonment. Being in prison with imperial guards is a lot smaller than being imprisoned in hell under the wrath of God. And Paul was delivered from both. The later, his physical imprisonment, eventually through his death. Johnny Erickson Tada said this, God is more concerned with conforming me to the likeness of His Son than leaving me in my comfort zones. God is more interested in inward qualities than outward circumstances. Things like refining my faith, humbling my heart, cleaning up my thought life, and strengthening my character. You think about your thought life. You know one of the worst thoughts you can have is not a lustful thought after a woman or a man. It's not a proud thought of yourself, but it's a thought of unbelief that God really doesn't love you. as he says he does in his word. That's one of the most offensive sins you can have. Just like if I told my wife, I love you, Bethany, and then the next moment she comes around and she says, well, do you really love me? Now, I'm not perfect. I could be given valid reasons to make it appear like I don't love her. But the Lord, that's never true. He's never given us a valid reason to not believe he loves us how he really does. So another person I thought of was my father-in-law, Bob Jennings. He wrote this on his blog 8 months before dying of cancer. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. So he had a meditation on that verse. Peace in every circumstance? How can it be? The Christian knows that the Lord knows and that he is bigger. That is, we are not victims of circumstances, but objects of his eternal love and sovereign plan. We are shipwrecked on God and stranded on omnipotence. From the beginning of the journey, we've been taught to say, your will be done. The world thinks I'm a victim of my circumstance. Well, if I wasn't out driving tonight, I wouldn't have gotten the car wreck and I wouldn't have got paralyzed. The Christian says, you know what? I was walking for the Lord, like Job, and this trial happened. It's going to advance the gospel. I'm going to look for open doors. Obviously, God wanted me paralyzed rather than walking, and he has a deeper purpose involved. This isn't accidental. God's sovereign. Practically, again, thinking of Paul, he gets put in a trying circumstance and he evangelizes. Even with Bob, he got cancer. Guess who he got to visit that he never would have visited unless he got cancer? Cancer doctors. So now he's visiting doctors, cyberknife doctors, and all these doctors who he never would have got to see unless he had the circumstance of cancer. And what was he doing? He was preaching Christ. He was evangelizing to them. That's what his circumstances did. They advanced the gospel. That's what Paul's did in prison. That's what Joseph did in the scriptures. And his brother sold him into slavery, and in the end, what did he say? As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many should be kept alive as they are today. And the Lord is using your circumstances in your life to bring about something for good that's going to happen later on. And it's not going to happen the day after the circumstance happens, usually. It's going to take some time. That's why we walk by faith, not by sight. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. You know how you can give thanks in all circumstances? If you believe all circumstances are God-ordained and God-created, then you give thanks. Isaiah said, the Lord said, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. So who are we, O man, to answer back to God and say, what have you done? So some closing thoughts. Be like Paul. We already read it in verse 20. He said his eager expectation, his hope, is that he would not at all be ashamed. Is that your hope? Are you eagerly expecting that in your trying circumstances you will not at all be ashamed? But with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in your body in the present trying circumstances of your life. That you'll be able to say like Paul in such an amazing statement of his believing God's love for him, that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I die, it's gain. No doubt of the love of God there. For him to just say, I'm ready to die, take me. Do you know what the gospel is so you can evangelize in present circumstances? One of the big reasons people don't evangelize in their trying circumstances is because they don't even know the gospel. And the reason a person doesn't know the gospel is because they're not even converted. And ask yourself, do you know the gospel? Do you know what the good news of Jesus Christ is? Do you know about his life, that he lived perfectly under the law as your representative? Do you know about his death, that he died as a substitute in your place, bearing the penalty that you deserve? Under the wrath of God. He bore it for you with your sins on his record, and he gives his righteousness to your record, and you're legally declared righteous in God's courtroom. Do you know about that? Are you believing that? Are you trusting in Christ? And you say, well, I've been saved a day. If you've been saved one day, then go to Mark chapter 5 and look at the demoniac. He had thousands of demons cast out of him. He was a man running around naked in a graveyard cutting himself. He wanted to go with Jesus. You think Christ would have said, sure, come along. You've just been saved out of such a horrible background. But Jesus said, go home and tell your family of how I've had mercy on you. And every true Christian knows how to tell others of the mercy God's had. Whether you can explain it in the right terms or not, you know that I've been given mercy that I do not deserve. And I can put that in some words. Maybe the words you could say are, I once was blind, but now I see. That'd be sufficient. Is your life about advancing the gospel through the speaking of what Christ has done? Paul's circumstances didn't make them just more bold to practically live a righteous life. It made them more bold to speak the word. The gospel goes out through us speaking. Proclaiming. Faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. What you don't want to do is get put in a place where you don't speak. You've got to communicate the truth through your lips. And here Paul's circumstance gave them much more boldness to speak the word without fear. Do you think this way when a circumstance comes? Oh, this is another opportunity to advance the gospel. All right. Let's see what we can do with it. Do you think that way? Do you think that way? If you're living for Christ, and your imprisonment is for Christ, and you're living for His cause, no matter what circumstance comes your way, the Lord's put you there, and you should think, all right, how can I evangelize? Paul is really zealous for evangelism. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't feel like he's beating the people down talking about advancing the gospel in Philippi. He doesn't think, I'm going to make people feel guilty telling them to evangelize and telling them to go out and preach Christ. He knows the true Christian, they want to do it. Some are going to do it smaller levels. Some will do it on bigger levels. But we're all, to some extent, going to tell others about the love of Christ that He's had for our souls on Calvary. Seek to make it known to all and the rest that your trying circumstances are for Christ. How? You know one big way you can make it known? Is by rejoicing in all circumstances. Rejoicing. You get sideswiped with a trial today that you didn't anticipate. The lost man sees you rejoice. Your lost family sees you rejoice. Even without words, you just helped advance the good news of Christ. Because you're telling them the good news of my sins being put away is so good that no matter what happens in this life physically to me, I'm not going to plain, I'm not going to complain, I'm not going to groan, I'm not going to mumble, because God's got my lot, He's done me no wrong. So, a couple more thoughts in closing. Yeah, do you think this way? Are you seeking to make it known? And are you believing God's love for you? I mean, it's a very simple question. And again, it's tested at how you respond when the curveballs in life hit you. It's really tested there. Psalms 84:11, what does it say? The Lord your God is a sun. He's a light. He's not going to leave you in darkness. He's a shield. He's a defender against all the fiery darts of the devil. He bestows grace in saving you when you're dead in your sins. He bestows glory in bringing you to salvation in heaven and glorification. And you know what He says next? He withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. And He'll do that for you. If you follow Him, you can trust every trial is a good thing that God is giving me. So, is something happening in your life right now that you're not seeing is an opportunity to really advance the gospel? I mean, look at that verse, verse 12. I want you to know, Paul says, and I want you to know, brethren. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has really, 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 really served to advance the gospel. So don't believe the lie. It's going to hinder the gospel that I'm in prison. It's going to advance it. Do you believe that? Do you really see your circumstances as an opportunity to advance the gospel? Some hindrance, some obstacle, barrier, handicap, restriction, limitation, we should be able to say that, like Paul does. So be encouraged. We're all going to have a life full of things that happen. Look what happened to me. I was given another opportunity to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the greatest news ever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being on our side. Thank you so much that you really are in control of our circumstances. Jackson Van is no accident. Bob's cancer, no accident. Johnny Erickson Tata's being quadriplegic is no accident. The Lorman's three miscarriages before their first child was no accident. The smallest things, no accident. Imprisonment. Lord, we know you can use this to affect the lost and to affect the Christian. And so, Lord, we just pray. I pray specifically that in our church, this would just all the more be happening, that we would be made bold because of how others endure trying circumstances. And Lord, we just pray we'd be a light that shines bright, that the lost world would look at us and see us as those who give thanks in all circumstances. And Lord, if all circumstances are your will, all righteous circumstances, not sin, if it's your will, Lord, then help us to give thanks and rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen.